Today we continue with our look at one another statements in the New Testament. And today, last week we talked about love and God's love and how he desired to be in a relationship with us and how much he loves us and that we should love and be in relationship with one another here on earth as well. Well, this week we want to take a look at one of the other one another statements, and that is humility. Humility. You know, as we watch the National Football League, I'll pick on them for just today since it is the playoffs. I have a heavy sigh for my fellow Steelers. It's okay. It's okay, Fauna. We're going to be okay today, I promise. We look at these guys, and they do some amazing things, but sometimes they do some of the most basic things. Like, right, here's their basic job. If you're on defense, stop the guy with the ball from getting to the end zone. That's it. That's your job. And when a guy does that, it's always curious to me to see that defender stand up and just stomp and beat their chest. Like, look at what I did. Like, you tackled a guy. That's great. You haven't solved cancer. You didn't bring world peace. You did your job. I would just wait one of these days when I'm at, like, McDonald's, and the guy comes in, and he slams the Big Mac down. Like, yeah! I made that. If we did that in other situations, I might just do that one day when I'm preaching. Just do something, just flip the podium. Yeah! I delivered the message. But God calls us for humility. And I want to tell you a story about a man named Sam. Sam was born during the first president's term and George Washington's term in the early, late 1700s. And Sam grew up and he was an amazing guy, and he found out that he had a knack for art. So much so that he went to Yale and studied, and he became somewhat well known, and he traveled even into Europe doing paintings. Because of his artistic ability, he had to travel a lot, even after he got married. And now, on one of these trips, he was gone for a long time, and word came to him that his wife was sick. But because of the delay in the communication, by the time that he got back home, his wife had already passed away. He missed saying goodbye to her and missed her funeral. And something changed in Sam. And Sam, he became just obsessed and passionate with creating quicker communication. And that became his life passion. He went on to create a device that enabled us to communicate quicker. Many of you probably know the code that's named after him, Sam Morse, the Morse code. Those little dots and dashes revolutionized communication. He created basically the internet of the 1800s. What used to take weeks or months even to communicate now took only a few minutes. And you would think a person who did something so as amazing as that they would struggle sometimes maybe with humility, but let me read a quote to you. This is from a letter that he wrote to his second wife after he had received international acclaim and, of course, financial reward. He said this: "The more I contemplate this great undertaking, the more I feel my own littleness. And the more that I perceive the hand of God is in it, and how he has assigned to various persons their duties, he being the great controller and all others his honored instruments. Hence our dependence first of all on God and then to one another." In his greatness, he had humility. Now, it comes no surprise to let you know that Sam was a believer. Perhaps he was familiar with these phrases: In Proverbs 22:4, it says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. He writes to his wife, we are only instruments of God. I am only able to do these things because God working through me. He had a fear of the Lord. This is echoed in the New Testament in 1 Peter 5:5. It says, all of you, speaking to believers, all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Humility. A trait so many of us don't always appreciate. C.S. Lewis had this to say, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. When we think of ourselves, we have, among other things, pride, conceitedness. And those are the very things which God just abhors him, that there are those who would have such pride. In fact, it is the very thing that led Lucifer to rebel. It was pride in Lucifer to say, I see what God the Father's doing on the throne, and I think I could do that. And he convinced enough of the other angels that they tried a rebellion. And God has been waging a war against pride ever since then. So what greater quality could we have than humility to one another? But humility is a very difficult thing. It's the one reward you can't wear. Just give a kid or give somebody an award for being humble. They can never share it with somebody. Because as soon as they do, they have to give it up, right? Now, if we want to be humble, it requires some work on our part. James 5:16 tells us this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. I believe this verse tells us that humility requires openness and honesty. And not just with each other, but first and foremost with ourselves. Now, in this particular passage, James is writing about healing, and he's talking about how that if you have a need, you go to your elders and they will pray for you. And part of it is a confession to God. It's just get everything out of the way. I don't want anything in between you and I. Before I can receive your healing, I want everything to be up and open and honest with each other. And here's the thing is, we all love to evaluate ourselves through a certain filter, don't we? I always say there's some people in this world that I would love to buy them for what they're worth and sell them for what they think they're worth. Or how about this? Would we judge, if we could judge others the way we want to be judged? We are so quick to judge other people. Zero tolerance. Zero tolerance. You made a mistake. End of story. Here comes the punishment. But if we make a mistake, well, and here's my 3-point excuse or explanation of why I did that. I mean, after all, I'm only human. Boy, if we could just do that, if we could just start to learn to treat others and start evaluating and be honest with ourselves, you know what? I made a mistake. And I confess it. Now, there's a special reason why, and there's a whole lot of this that we could unpack, and I won't unpack all of it, but one thing I will unpack about this passage is this. There is actually a psychology of this, is that when things are in your mind, they still tend to be very ethereal, very vaporish. They don't have physical substance. But when things are spoken, they have a certain reality to them, don't they? Let me give you a positive example. for everyone who is in here who's married, guys or girls, whoever said I love you first, there was a moment when you and your spouse were just friends, right? There was that moment when you're like, hey, I see that guy, I see that girl. And somehow, through friendships, through different situations, you started communicating, you started talking, and then there came that time, that conversation, right? Do you remember that conversation? When you had this invisible line, if I share my feelings, I will cross a line. It will make this real. Now, there are hundreds, maybe thousands, of quote-unquote romance novels of all various types that deal with this whole angst. Much of Shakespeare deal with it, too. The whole concept is a very human feeling. If it's inside me, as much as it may burn with passion and just light up my life that so-and-so came into my world, as long as I keep it to myself, it's safe. But as soon as I lay it out there, I'm vulnerable. And it gives it reality. But all the reward if they receive it and reciprocate that back. God is the same way. He wants us to be completely open with Him in that same vulnerable way. And here's the really interesting part. He already knows. It's not like when your mom and dad was like, who broke the vase? I don't know. Yeah, God already knew, right? In Garden of Eden, when He was calling out for Adam and Eve, He wasn't looking for them like, oh, I wonder where they could be. He knew where they were and what they were doing. He was calling because we talked about this last week. He wants to be in relationship, even though He already knew that they had disobeyed. Humility requires openness and honesty with ourself, with God, and with others. There's a reason why we read throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, both men and women, find someone that you can be accountable to and be accountable to one another to share with them. Because there's something about this when you share with another believer, man, I'm struggling with this. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he says that God comforts us because we can therefore comfort others who are going through the same thing. And I've heard this once, I've heard it a million times. I thought I was the, finish that statement, only one. But then when we share with others, one of the greatest, wisest things that anyone ever shared with me was shortly after I got married. Someone told me, he said, here's what you need to do. You need to find a married man 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years older than you. And when things happen in life, you need to build relationships with these men so that you can go to them. And that has been invaluable to me over the last 20 years of marriage, because when things popped up in marriage or in parenting, and I could go to somebody and go, hey, what, I know that you probably didn't face this, but I'm going through, and they just kind of laugh, and they usually finish my sentence for me. Oh, you mean this? I'm like, oh, how did you know? Well, let's see, you're 35, you've got two kids and a mortgage and a car, and this is what's going on in your brain right now. You know, jaw open. Wow. So how'd you do? What'd you do? And sometimes they've been honest and said, hey, here's what I did. It was a huge mess. Don't take that path. All right. Sometimes it's like, this is what I did, and this is how it worked out. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I'm going to do. But it requires us to be humble, to be open and honest with God and with ourselves and with others. Next thing that it does is it shows care for one another. Being humble shows care for one another. In 1 Corinthians 11:33, we read, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. Now, this doesn't seem like that's something that should be in the Bible, right? Hey, when you guys come together, especially as believers, and you're going to have a fellowship, wait for one another. That's just common courtesy, right? I mean, just should be common sense. But what does our nature say, our sin nature, our human nature? I want some of that pie. And there's only 8 slices. I can evaluate that there's 20 guys in this room. Let me put a ratio together. I can't guarantee that I'm going to get a piece of that pie. So I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like that pie. So I'm going to go ahead and take 2 pieces. Now, if you're that guy, I'm sorry. I've just ruined it for you. Because we're going to now know. We've got to be humble. We have to wait for one another. It's one of the things that shows that we care about each other. And he goes on and write in chapter 12, verse 25, have equal concern for one another. Be considerate of others. There may be some other guys in the room who likes that pie too. Guys, this is the amazing thing about Christianity. It's not some super high, lofty concept. It's not philosophy that you and I need to go sit under a tree for 20 years and contemplate our navel to comprehend. It's love one another and wait for them when you eat. Why is this so hard? 1 Peter 4:9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Boy, that's the hard part, right? Jalen always hates when I use her as an example, so I'm sorry, Jalen. But recently she said something to Amy and me. She said, I don't know if I can be a parent. And we're like, really? I thought maybe she's going to have this epiphany of how difficult it is to raise a child and the sacrifices. And we said, why? She said, because you guys always share your dessert with us and sometimes even let us have it when I know you want it. And I don't know that I can do that. Offering hospitality to one another and God bless her, it's true. But what she doesn't realize, and this is the secret of parenting, Jan, I'm going to let you in on this. I have the resources to go get another one. It may look like a sacrifice. But I know where the secret Oreos are stashed. But that's the kind of, and wait, my heart just swells with, I almost said pride, but we're talking about humility here. And it swells with appreciation that she sees that we have that attitude, because as a parent, we do that so naturally, don't we? Good parenting often does that. Mom may not have had a new shirt in 10 years, but the kids every school year got a new outfit. That's the kind of approach that God is calling for us to have for one another. To show care for one another. Next thing, having humility with one another helps to prevent strife. When we do things without grumbling, when we do things out of love and compassion that we care one another, it helps to prevent strife. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I probably don't have to explain that one too much to you, do I? Boy, we've seen it. I've seen it in individual families. I've seen it with individual couples. I've seen it within churches, within organizations. Again, to reference back to the NFL, if you just watch on the sideline, when the game starts going south for a team, really good teams, really well-coached, disciplined teams. Even when they're down, they still have poise and humility, and they support each other, and they go out and they do the next play. But watch a team. Watch a team that's made up of a lot of individuals, and you'll see a lot of this going on. Of biting and devouring each other. Paul writes on in verse 26, "Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another." Boy, if we could just have humility. Humility does this thing. If humility is that if I'm doing well and someone else on my team, someone else in my church, someone else part of the body of Christ is not doing well, they're making mistakes, they're messing up. Humility is not getting mad and devouring them. And the church, above any organization, loves to eat its wounded. Just let somebody slip up and actually make a mistake. We're like piranha. I'm constantly amazed at the writings that Paul had some 2,000 years ago are so applicable today because it's so true. And we've all been guilty of that, particularly if a person of prominence might fall or slip up or make a mistake or do something that you know is blatantly sinful. We just jump on it. Humility would prevent that, to say, you know what? There by the grace of me, by the grace of God goes me. Remembering that you and I could slip and fall just as easy as he or she may. In verse 26, it says, "Let us not be conceited, provoking and envying one another." For those of us who at times we're not doing so well and we look at someone who is, it is so easy to get jealous. One of the things that kind of I always heard pastors talking about, and now that I am a pastor and if I get around other pastors, one of the questions that I'm always asked, pastors love to ask each other this question. How many you got in your church? How much you been growing? Why do we do that? Because sometimes you walk away and you think, man, that guy's just, wow. Well, I just had somebody give me a $10 million building, and we went from 100 to 10,000 in the last 6 months, and I don't know what we're going to do. It's just, oh, praise God. And then, oh, so what size is your church? It's about like that. We have this tendency sometimes, though, don't we? I just speak for my own weakness, that when we see others, what we perceive having success. For you, it might be at your work or in finances or whatever it is, that you start to measure yourself against somebody else. Humility says, you know what? I am right where God has got me because this is what God wants me to be doing. And sometimes God wants you to manage thousands of people. Sometimes he wants you to manage one person, yourself. Sometimes he wants us to be extremely blessed financially so that we're able to be a funnel to help others. Other times, he withdraws that because he wants to know that just like Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac, are we willing to lay that down on the altar and say, God, it's yours. Whatever I have, to the last penny, it's yours. Humility will help us when we are in seasons of blessing, and it'll help us when we're in seasons of want. It helps to prevent strife because it helps to prevent jealousy and envy and conceitedness. Next thing that humility does is it gives honor to others. Honor is a thing that In our culture, we do not value perhaps as much as we should. Honor one another above yourselves, Romans 12:10. If no other verse that you hear today, what if we did this one thing in our marriage, in our workplace, at school? I'm just shocked. As Amy in her position with the peers group goes into schools and she teaches kids about making wise, healthy life decisions, and she talks about how that these students today, they'll be doing a variety of things that are nowhere related to what's going on in the classroom. I'm like, what's going on with the teacher? And she said, well, most of the time they're up there on their phone, I'm assuming like on Facebook or doing something like that. Now, I don't want to pick, and I'm sorry if I step on somebody's toe here, but my wife is primarily in the Evansville School Corporation, and there's not a really surprising correlation then that I see that we just got our grade for the Evansville School Corporation, and they got a C. But other organizations, other school corporations around here got A's. My wife is in those schools, and she said there is a distinct difference. Honor one another above yourself. Honor is a thing of humility, to recognize authority, to recognize what your task is. Philippians 2:3 tells us this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Boy, what a difference our next generation would be if they learned to honor others above themselves. What about a difference this generation would be if we did the same? If we honor one another, if we did things rather in conceit, but rather in humility, value others. That is so important. One of the catchphrases of the last 10 years, one of the things that really drives me nuts is the word tolerance. We have learned to quote unquote tolerate one another. When are we going to quit doing that and start to value one another? Because that's what is needed. And that's what, as believers, we're commanded to do. We give honor to others. Because the last thing I want us to see today is that humility precedes honor for yourself. I started today talking about some of the athletes of today, some of the people that we look at in our world that beat their chest, that proclaim, "How great am I?" The biblical world is completely upside down from what the carnal world does. And God wants us to be humble, wants to have humility so that He instead can honor us. In Proverbs, we read, humility comes before honor. Pride comes before a fall. You know, we see this all the time. It looks different in different worlds. I've been picking on football for a while. I pick on businesses for a while. Do you guys remember Blockbuster? You recognize how I just said that. Do you remember? In their heyday, they were king of entertainment. They had their hands in everything. They had their own reward show, the Blockbuster Awards. And they were so full of themselves that they went out and they said, you know what's been really great? We've got these 5,000 stores. Wouldn't it be great if we had 10,000? Then some other guy said, you know what? Let's just make it 15. They go, that sounds great. We've made all this money. We're so popular. We can do no wrong. There's a couple guys in their company that kept saying, hey, there's some other companies that do what we do. And I don't know if you notice what they're doing, but they're starting to change things. In fact, there's this little company that you may not have heard of, and it's called Netflix. And they're mailing the DVDs to the people's home. True story, the CEO says, "Pah, no one would want that. They would have to wait days to get a movie. People want to watch a movie tonight. They want to come into the store and get the movie tonight." And so they combated Netflix by having even more movies in their stores with even more stores. I don't know when the last time you've been to a Blockbuster, but I do know the last time that I used Netflix. Now, that's a business. And I'm sure there'll be something else that comes along and Netflix will be gone. It's kind of like 8-tracks and cassettes and everything else. The next technology, the next thing, right? But here's the point. When we get so filled with ourselves that we think that we can do no wrong, we are bound for failure. James 4:10 says this, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you're going through a time of success in your life, a blessing in your life, praise God. Literally, praise God. And keep in perspective who and where that blessing comes from. If you're in a time right now that you're afraid to get out of bed in the morning, you don't know when the next thing is going to happen. Praise God. God is still in control. He still loves you. He still has a plan for you. Humility will balance out both of those things. And he will raise you up. The greatest example of this is Jesus Christ. He's always the example, right? Here he is. He is a part of the triune God, creator of the entire universe. And he says, I'm going to set aside all of that and go put on this meatbag body and deal with dirt and stink and deal with these frustrating people. Let them nail me to a cross. And we read in the Bible, it says that God did that. That he humbled himself. He humbled himself even to the cross. But, the Father will raise him up. And in the last days, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. Jesus had it all, and he gave it up so we could have it too. Humility brings honor to others. It's God's place to give it to us. This week, I'm just going to challenge myself and challenge all of you. Your spouse, your children, your coworkers, the cashier, your waitress, honor them above yourself and see how things go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. As we continue to learn how it is you want us to do life with one another, God, help us to live in humility. You were the perfect example of that. You had it all and set it aside to humble yourself, to become a human, to go to the cross, to give your life for us. And God, because of that, we get to share in your honor, your righteousness, and your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.